If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Welcome to the Honest Art Podcast. I'm your host, Jody King. As an artist for 20 years, instructor, speaker, author, and fellow rebel, I've worked with thousands of people around the world, from beginners to established artists, helping them create their strongest art and build a career doing what they love. So if you are ready to have a little fun while you learn about art, creativity, building a thriving art business, and living a bold, audacious life, you are in the right place. Also, if you're considering going pro in your art business, grab the PDF in the show notes on the 5 things they don't teach you in art school. All right, let's get messy. Where are my artists at out there who are feeling overwhelmed, uninspired, and maybe frustrated with their own art? This episode is for you because you, my sweet rebellious friend, could use a little detox. Specifically, an artist detox, because maybe you feel like you keep painting the same thing or the same way, and frankly, you're just bored with your art, or you find you're comparing yourself more and more with other artists and their work, and your self-confidence has taken a little bit of a nosedive, or maybe your creative practice is beginning to feel like a chore, like it's not even fun anymore. When it feels like it's just another have to in our lives, it also may be time for an artist's detox. The good news is we don't even have to go to rehab. Nope, this is going to be way more fun and fill us with a ton of inspiration. Are you ready? Let's get messy. So I was working with my coach not long ago and sharing about how I felt like I was headed straight for burnout, that I didn't even really want to paint, which is not at all like me. And her response was, well, how much white space are you getting? And I sat back for a minute and I thought, white space? And I realized that I wasn't getting hardly any, like maybe none. When I wasn't being productive, I was reaching for my phone for some doom scrolling, or I was reaching for the remote, and I realized I was actually resisting that white space in my life. So that meant I had to question what white space really meant for me and why I felt like I always needed to be doing something. And ultimately, I realized that white space equated to a negative connotation for me because it meant I'm lazy. It was time for me to reframe this clearly, because not only did I need a break and I needed some rest, but because creativity was at stake, which meant like it felt like my very essence was at stake. So it was time to fill my cup again. But filling my cup was going to need to look very different than what I was doing. I was going to need to make some changes, and I was going to need to detox from my usual go-tos and fill my cup in different ways. So maybe you're also feeling like a little bit like this too, and maybe you needed to detox. And if that's the case, here are the things that I found out have worked best for me, and when I've worked with other artists, has worked best for them. So let's get started with this. Number one, this is probably a no-brainer, but it's just the truth. We need a social media detox of other artists and their work. Like for a few weeks. This is so important. Why? Because it helps to release us from the comparison game, which sucks the creativity right out of us. The irony is that we think looking at other artists' work will actually inspire us. And, you know, for a minute it does, but it does not help us with the comparison game. And it certainly doesn't help us win the comparison game or the self-esteem game for that matter. Does anybody remember a while back when the only way you could really see an artist's work was when it was shown in a gallery, a museum, or maybe like in a decorative store or home furnishing store? Like, you actually had to go out of your house and search for it. And that's how it was when I first started painting. And I think that it actually really helped me a ton, especially early on when there's a mix of like feeling really proud of ourselves, you know, that we're painting, we're starting to do this thing, and also all of this excitement around it just to keep going. But I think that if I had Instagram back then, I probably would have painted something, then gone to Instagram, looked at other artists' work, and just thought, well, fuck it. I suck. I'm out. Or worse, maybe I would have kept painting, but I would have abandoned my own voice and would have tried to paint like those other people. And I did that a little anyway, like we all do when we first start. But God, I can't even imagine if I had other people's art at my fingertips at that time. So back then, I knew so clearly in my heart what was fun to paint for me and what I wanted to paint. If I had turned to social media, I know I would have lost sight of my own unique voice and vision for what I wanted to create. So there will always be other people's art that we admire and appreciate. And that is so cool. I do it all the time. It is so, so cool. But sadly, we don't have near the tendency to cast as much of a critical eye on other people's art as we do our own. So we're not even comparing apples to apples, right? And oftentimes, other artists have been painting for decades while, you know, we've just started, and the whole thing is a total mind fuck when you think about it, right? We're comparing somebody else's, you know, 10th chapter to our second chapter, or maybe even worse. But listen, I mean, I get it. It can be hard to tear ourselves away from social media for a few weeks. But even if we can't do that, at least try to not look at other artists' work like right before you paint. You know, don't even bring your phone in your studio. Don't put it right next to you when you're painting, because that social media detox is going to be huge for you and just your own self-esteem and how you are feeling about yourself and your work. Okay, the second thing for our little artist detox is spend some time in nature. You ever wonder who the greatest artist of all time is? Mother freaking nature? Like God, the universe, it's all semantics, but still, Mother Nature is the very definition of infinite creativity. From the intricate patterns of a snowflake to that awe-inspiring, vibrant sunrise or sunset, Mother Nature's like, rules? What rules? Think the night sky should be painted black or dark purple? She's like, hold my beer, not so fast. Check out my Aurora Borealis, people. Also, Mother Nature shows us the incredible beauty in imperfection. So while we're over here painstakingly trying to make sure that that nose in the portrait that we're painting isn't too far from the lips, like it's got to be perfect, she's showing us the irregular shapes of rocks, the asymmetrical patterns of leaves, and like that crazy, weird, weathered surface of a tree bark. She's showing us how all of what we might call imperfections actually contribute to the rich tapestry of her art, like the art of the world. So, in an effort to detox and to open our own portal of creativity. Let's get our butts outside more. Seriously, imagine all that we can learn and the crazy cool info that we could glean from spending some time in nature and intentionally noticing. It could even set us free from our own limited ideas of what we feel like our art needs to be. All right, number three for our artist detox, we need to incorporate artist play dates. Now, this one I learned years ago from Julia Cameron in her book, The Artist's Way. But the thing that I love about an artist play date is that it's not about achieving specific outcomes or meeting external experiences of anyone. Don't you think we've already got too many expectations and rules placed on us? Or maybe we just went ahead and placed them on ourselves? Instead, an artist play date is about cultivating a sense of wonder again, like when we were a kid. It's cultivating that sense of exploration and just remembering the joy in the creative process itself. Some artist play dates that I've done that have absolutely nothing to do with visual art, but have taken me outside of my comfort zone intentionally with the goal to expose myself to new stimuli and new experiences was taking salsa dance classes. I loved that. It was, again, an opportunity to kind of feel creative, but to experience from a sensory perspective something totally different. Another thing that I would consider like an artist play date would be intentionally getting lost in a new city. Now, obviously, this one could be a little dicey, right? So be careful, but it can also be exhilarating. So I remember I was in London one time staying in a hotel in a lovely area, and I decided to go out for a run knowing full well I had no idea where I was going or even where I would end up, but I kind of liked it because I knew it would be an adventure. But you know what? You don't even need to get that uncomfortable. You could simply go to that new indie bookstore that you've been hearing about, or you could go to an exhibition that, you know, you maybe wouldn't normally go to. And the idea is not to wait for the inspiration to come to us, but instead to go get that, right? Because we are sitting back sometimes waiting for an invitation to have a little fun and to be inspired. Like, we're just kind of waiting for it when all the while we can go out there and get it. Okay, so now this detox idea might be a little surprising. Okay, but here we go. Recognize in your own life where you're trying to be good. This is important. And it's important because our art acts as a mirror. If we're trying to be good as an important part of our identity, that can easily transfer to our art practice in the form of self-editing. So, you know, we're usually praised from a very young age, especially women, to be good, to be nice, to be polite, to consider others before ourselves, and all of these, you know, kindness, politeness, service to others, are incredible virtues. The only thing is, they don't really have a place in our studio or in our art practice. Our creativity is for us first and to our own service. Eventually, it totally can serve others, but it's a way for us to feed ourselves. And sometimes being nice to ourselves means just to tell the damn truth. Like, I'm sad. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm sexy. I'm exceptional. I take up space. My voice matters. I'm fucking important. My views are important. The way I see the world is important. Like, I want a purple leaf there instead of a green one, and I don't want anybody to say shit about it. I want, you know, this portrait. I want her to have green hair and not brown. So, you know, this is important when I'm talking about an artist detox. Being good is not going to serve us or our work. Just remember, no one is the boss of you or your creativity. And also, sometimes trying to be good, frankly, it just dims our own light. We can do the right thing and honor our own creative voice. By doing this in our art, we will then, this is the best part, y'all, we will then give others permission to do the same thing in their lives. Now, how's that for service? Then, and this is so cool, when we honor the spark of our own truth, it ignites the fuel to our own creativity. So I'm going to say that one more time. When we honor the spark of our own truth, it ignites the fuel to our creativity. So let's light that sucker up. I stop trying to be so good and instead try to be so real. Finally, do you want to get some dopamine hits and get those creative juices flowing again? We can do this by stimulating our senses. Let's wake them up and get them firing again. And how do we do this? Well, let's think about those five senses for a sec. They are sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell. So when was the last time we thought about participating in their stimulation? Like for real, like consciously thinking about stimulating our senses. Because remember, we are a mirror for our art. So wouldn't it make sense to stimulate our senses so that we could feel more alive and more vibrant? I mean, this is exciting. So how can we do this? All right, we can do it through new experiences like with food, because food stimulates sight, taste, and smell. And if you add, you know, textures, it even takes care of touch. So that's four out of the five senses, y'all. Imagine if instead of just gobbling down our food as quickly as we can, thinking of it as more of a necessity, we instead took time to savor the experience, you know, to notice the colors, to notice the textures, to linger in the taste and even the smell. Another way to stimulate our senses, it's not what y'all are thinking. I know what you're thinking. That's the obvious one, so I'm not even going to go there. But another way to stimulate our senses is through one of my favorites, and that is music. I freaking love music, and this has often been my go-to to change up my energy and to feel more vitality. And the reason is the sounds are stimulating my brain, and honestly, it's stimulating my entire freaking nervous system. And then when I add in some movement, it doesn't have to be much, you know, just add a little bounce in there. It can make it even more powerful because it's engaging the body's limbic system, which helps regulate the body's stress response and emotional state. So, gee, I wonder, do you think that could help with creativity? Yeah. There are literally countless ways to stimulate our senses, but I'll wrap it up with one more. Travel. And you don't even have to go far. Even going to another neighborhood can stimulate our senses. I love driving or walking or riding my bike around and look at neighborhoods just like landscaping and home design and like the color people paint their homes or the flowers they chose to plant in their yards. Going to different neighborhoods can often stimulate taste also by the different dining options that might be available that you never even knew about in another neighborhood. Like maybe it's a Peruvian food truck or it's a Greek restaurant, whatever it might be. But you really, you don't have to go far to stimulate your senses. But also, like, going to Italy every year doesn't suck either. Italy, oh my gosh, talk about stimulating the senses. Like the sights, new flavors, the smell of sweet gelato, the sounds of Italian music, and even touch, especially when you meet hot Italian guys. But that's a whole nother story. But it's a good story, I will tell you. I know the friends closest to me know it, but I'm sure I'll probably end up telling it on the podcast at some point. My point is that travel is so stimulating for the senses, and you don't even have to go far. So there you go. There is a recipe for an artist's detox. Imagine how we would feel if we practiced detoxing in this way on the regular. Imagine what it would do for our creativity. All we have to do is leave room for a little white space for our own damn selves and our creativity. And then just watch what happens. So I often get asked, what's the number one thing that has made the biggest difference in my creativity and abundant life? And without a doubt, my answer is always meditation. It helps me to feel present and to feel grounded, which is essential for me as an artist and really for anyone to be able to get into that creative zone. So that's why I created a free meditation for anyone looking to get centered and to experience more abundance in their life. If this sounds like something you'd be into, you can find it at the link in the show notes.